It's good to see you here today. I never know what's going to happen in the summer because we have so much going on and people are traveling. And so it's a joy to be able to see you. We had a fantastic Sabbath school. If you were here for Sabbath school, you were blessed. I tell you, that Bonnie Stark, the door opened up a little bit. The heavens parted and I saw her. That lady did a great job with Sabbath school. You tell her how much you appreciated that. She had 13 ladies up here. As I was joking, I said, we had a sleepover. You see all these ladies in their robes and pajamas. They had Bible costumes on. It was fantastic. There were snakes and there were pitchers. And see, what other were some of the props that were amazing? Scrolls, tambourines. I mean, it was awesome. Thank you, Bonnie, for making Scripture come alive. Well, today we're going to start a new series. It's going to be a great summer series on a topic that I think is as upbeat and joyous as any Bible topic is, and that is heaven. That is heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is a precious, precious topic. If you grew up in a Christian home, how many of you grew up in a Christian home? Okay, many of us did. Well, I did too. If you grew up in a Christian home like me, you probably have heard about heaven all your life, like I have. And as a kid, I can remember being in kindergarten and primary division and my teacher telling me, heaven, Ronnie, is going to be a wonderful place. And I said, oh, okay. And I kind of put that away in the computer. Do you remember the picture rolls, those of you who are, and they still have them in Sabbath school, the picture rolls, you know? Well, I remember this picture, this very picture as one of the picture rolls. And as my teacher is telling me what a wonderful place heaven is going to be, I'm looking at this picture, and it's Jesus in front of a family. And I look at them, and they're all wearing white robes. And they all have crowns on, a band, not a real, real fancy crown, because these are Adventist crowns, just a band, no jewels in it, okay? And Jesus is looking at them, and they're just kind of sitting there. And as an 8-year-old, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, well, I don't want to wear a white robe. I'd rather wear jeans and a T-shirt. And rather than just sitting there, I'd rather climb trees and play baseball. Maybe heaven isn't as wonderful as my teacher is trying to tell me. And then there's this cartoon description that we've all heard about, that when you go to heaven, you're going to sit on a white cloud, you're going to wear a white robe, and you're going to play this little dinky harp. And you may have some wings sprouting out, too. And it was like, I'd rather play guitar, actually, if I'm going to heaven. And I don't want to sit on a cloud. I want to be doing stuff. I want to be flying around. I want to be seeing things. I want to be active. So this picture of heaven really didn't appeal to me either. It sounded pretty boring. However, there was one picture in my kindergarten Sabbath school on the picture roll that I kind of identified with, and it was this one. This is another Harry Anderson painting. And in this picture, Jesus is holding a little girl on his lap, and you can see that she's looking at his palm, and you can probably guess what Jesus is explaining. The nail prints, why there's a scar there in his hand. And there's a little girl on the left shoulder of Jesus that is overlooking. But I picked up on the boy. I don't know how well you can see the boy, but the boy is in normal clothes, and he's holding a toy airplane. So as a 7 or 8-year-old, I'm looking at this, and, oh, I can identify with this. If there's going to be toys in heaven, then heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Now, we all see heaven from our own perspective, and as an adult, a toy airplane doesn't attract me as much as when I was 7 years old. But heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And when it comes to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, we don't think about it enough. It's not that we don't believe in heaven. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I bet every person, when I would say, do you believe in heaven? Oh, yeah. It's not that we don't believe in heaven. Most of us, all of us believe in heaven. But we just don't think about it enough. I had to think about heaven this week because I had a message due and payable here in front of you. And I have a whole series coming after that. You can see a little bit about the series in a bulletin insert. So I was forced to think about heaven. And I asked myself, Ron, how much would you have thought about heaven if you didn't have to speak on it on Saturday? How much time would you have spent thinking about heaven? And I didn't have a very good answer to that. It was either not very much or not at all, I think the answer would be. The truth is that the everyday things of life get most of our attention. And they're not bad things, they're good things, but I think heaven is the best thing. And it is the things around us that seem to get our attention. And we get really focused on things here on the earth. In fact, we can give major attention to things that we are bothered about, that we are against, that we are rising up against. And we can spend a lot of time and energy and focus on the things that we are against and trying to make better. Well, that might be good to do some, but I think God would have our heads as earthlings, not down, but up. Up where He is and where Jesus is. And there's a scripture that I think is going to set the tone for our series, and it goes like this. And yes, I meant to have verse 2 before verse 1. It goes like this, Colossians 3, 2, and then 1. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your heart on things above. I get that. I'm to set my mind and my heart on heavenly things. Things above, not here on this earth. And if we all lived by that, I think heaven would be a lot more precious to us. Set your minds, set your hearts on things above. So during this series, we're going to intentionally, and I mean intentionally, we're going to set our minds and our hearts on things above, and we're going to set our minds on heaven. Heaven. Let's pray. Loving Father, I don't even have the words to describe a place like heaven, but thank you for giving us enough of an insight of what heaven's going to be, that it should motivate us greatly to love you more and to live a Christ-like life. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Bible suggests something very interesting. The Bible suggests that we humans have been given something in our DNA, in our human makeup, that we kind of have a basic understanding that there is an afterlife, that there is something after death. And there's an inborn desire in human beings that I think God has implanted there, that we want to be in this better place, and we want to end up there. Ecclesiastes 3 says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. And if you look at every religion, I don't care what the religion is, as part of that religion, they teach that there is a better afterlife, a place that you want to end up in. It's a wonderful place. And that is basically given by not almost, but every religion. Let me give you a couple of examples. Native American Indians, they talk about the happy hunting ground. And in the happy hunting ground, it is happy. And whereas they had to really work to get enough to eat, in the happy hunting ground, there is plenty of game. And they have plenty to eat, and everyone's happy. Heaven for Native American. The Islamic version of heaven is called Jannah. And in this version of heaven, there is a garden. And the faithful followers that end up in Jannah lie there on couches in climate-controlled environments. They drink from crystal goblets and silver vessels as immortal youths. And we've all heard the illustrations or the references to the Islamic men who are promised when they die that they will have a multitude of virgins that will be around them to take care of their every need and desire. Islamic heaven. In Buddhist heaven, it's kind of interesting. The Buddhists don't think that heaven is so much a place as a state that you can arrive at. And this state is called nirvana. And it's one of absolute peace and happiness, this state of heaven. But one of the strangest teachings on heaven has come from a group, and when I mention them, many of you will reflect back to 1997. It's hard to believe that this has been 21 years, but you remember Heaven's Gate. That guy gives me the creeps. He's the leader. His name was Major Applewhite. And he taught that heaven is real. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to live a devout life here on this earth, free of material pleasures. And these cult members of Heaven's Gate believed that they would depart and go to heaven on the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet. No kidding. Now you can't just board a comet like you do an airline, you know. So what he taught is that the way to get into this comet and join the aliens and go to this better place, this heaven, would be that you would kill yourself. You would commit suicide. And so I think I can remember that horrible news where they talked about 39 cult members who committed suicide so that they could return on the Hale-Bopp comet with aliens going to heaven. There's only one safe place, ladies and gentlemen, that we can trust to get our information on heaven, and that is the Bible, Scripture, God's Word. That's the only place we can really trust. And in this first study of this series, What's Up with Heaven?, we're going to look at certain important Bible promises of heaven. And the perspective that I am unashamedly going to go at this series is that I believe that God's Word is authoritative, and that if God says something in His Word, we don't have to question it. We know it's true. We know it's absolutely true, and we can believe it and trust it because it's God's Word. It's God's Word. And the Word of God is sure. I love this verses from 1 Peter 24 and 25, chapter 1. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It stands forever. Now, the passage that we're going to be looking at, you would think I paid Pat Burgess off to come up with this passage so that we'd both hit you over the head with it. Nicely, of course. But she was right on. I think this is the most precious, powerful teaching on heaven in the entire Scripture. And I'll tell you a number of reasons why. Let's read it. Let not your heart be troubled. You probably memorized this as a kid. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, says Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And it's very clear from Scripture where Jesus is right now. He is in heaven. And this is not only a promise of heaven, this is a promise of the second coming, made by Jesus Christ Himself, the sinless one who does not tell lies. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So Jesus said that He has prepared a special place for us. We call this place heaven. And this promise that Jesus makes is secure, sure, and can be taken to the bank. It's not that He might come. He says, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am,
there you will be also.
Now, one of the aspects that makes this promise so meaningful to me, think about this now, is that the one making the promise is Jesus Christ. And other than 33 plus years that he lived here on earth, Jesus has been a resident of heaven forever. Now, I don't get the whole forever thing having no beginning and no end, and you don't get it either. But suffice it to say that Jesus has lived eternally in heaven. Jesus has lived eternally in heaven. Now, if I wanted to take a summer vacation and go to Chicago, I probably wouldn't go to the person who's never been east of the Rockies and say, "Tell me all about Chicago." For a person who's never seen Chicago, you wouldn't get your information from them. You'd want to go to a person who had actually lived in Chicago, preferably someone who was born in Chicago, raised in Chicago, and still lives there, and say, "Tell me about Chicago. What should I go see when I'm there?" The person who lived there could give you some really good advice. And Jesus, being a resident of heaven through his entire existence, knows really well what heaven is like. And he, when he says, "I have made this awesome place for you," don't think for a minute that it might not exist, because Jesus is telling the truth. And God has told us in his word that heaven is really, really, really going to be a wonderful place. 1 Corinthians 2:9, New Living Translation. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Woo! Think about that. No one has seen how magnificent heaven is, at least in all of its glory. There have been some, John the Revelator in Revelation saw glimpses of heaven, but he would be the first one to tell you, I can barely describe it because it's so amazing. No ear has heard. There are sounds in heaven that are going to be so pleasing to our ears. Angel choirs singing, and who knows what all. It's just going to be amazing. And then it goes on to say, no mind has imagined. Now, even though some of you have let your imaginary abilities kind of wane a little bit, you talk to a 9-year-old, and they have great imaginations. And it's too bad that we adults lose the ability to imagine. You give a 9-year-old who doesn't have a lot of toys a stick, and they can imagine that as a gun or whatever and be playing a game with it. We cannot imagine in our wildest imaginations how incredibly wonderful heaven is. Good luck trying, because the Bible says you can't do it. It's too incredibly wonderful. And in some of the upcoming messages, we're going to look at some of the amazing glories of heaven that I would imagine will leave you going like this. Your jaw will drop and you'll go, "Oh my goodness. Can that be real?" Yes, it's real, because God has promised it. Jesus has promised it. Amen. Heaven is a real place, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real place. It's a place that God and Jesus have prepared for us. I love the words of that song that we sang. "You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Your love was greater. What could separate us now?" And we know the answer from Romans 8, 38 and 39. "There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. It was not a place where you would think an encouraging, hope-filled promise would be uttered. For you see, there was an execution going on. People were being murdered. A Jewish radical was dying, having been crucified on a cruel Roman cross. On either side of this Jewish radical were two condemned men called thieves in Scripture. Most likely, they were being condemned for more than just shoplifting. They probably had murdered many people. And they were on crosses of their own. Surprisingly, in the midst of this bloody killing massacre, came a promise about heaven. The one in the middle looked over at one of the criminals after he had asked, "Is there even a chance that someone as bad as me might be able to go to heaven?" And the man in the middle looked at him and said this, "Assuredly, absolutely, you bet, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Paradise is just another name for heaven. And Jesus promised this man who had led a horrible life until the 11th hour and the 59th minute of his life. That's when he confessed belief in Jesus. And Jesus said, "You will be with me in heaven." And the promise that was made to that criminal on that Friday afternoon is made to us today. Just minutes away from his finish line, the finish line of winning our salvation, Jesus was encouraged greatly as he was able to say, "My sacrifice is going to be worth it, and here is a trophy of grace." Jesus, hanging there on the cross, writhing in pain, was able to rescue a sinner from the jaws of eternal death and offer him by faith all of heaven. That's such amazing news. It's called the gospel, the good news. The good news that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have life everlasting in heaven. Amen. Jesus promised heaven to that criminal, and he promises heaven to us too. And as Hebrews 10:23 reminds us, he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Let us set our minds and our hearts on heaven. There's a lot going on in our lives here on earth that occupy a lot of our attention, and God understands that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Let us set our minds and our hearts on heaven. It's a real place where we're going to live forever if we but seriously and sincerely choose Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior. If you've never done that, I invite you to do it right now. It's the easiest thing. If a criminal can look over at Jesus and say, "Would you please remember me in your kingdom?" And do it with a sincere heart. And Jesus said, just like that, you are promised heaven, I assure you. It's not hard to give one's heart to Jesus. It just takes sincerity and really meaning it. And for those of us who have done it before, we need to continue to do it every single day to make that decision. To say, "Jesus, I choose you. May our minds be in the clouds and not here on earth as we look at the wonderful hereafter life that Jesus has prepared for those of us who love him. Let's pray. Thank you so much, loving Father, for preparing a place for us. One of these days, we're going to look back at time on this earth, and we're going to shake our heads, and we're going to say some of the things that occupied our attention and the things that we got so worked up about and gave so much energy to, we're going to be ashamed and said we should have been thinking more of heaven and building people up and doing positive things for the cause of Jesus. Lord, thank you for this promise that we looked at, that you have prepared a place for us and that you're going to come someday and to take us home to be with you, where we will live in the glories of paradise, heaven forever. Thank you for being such a wonderful God with a wonderful plan. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask this, amen.